How do trees get onto the internet? They log on.
Talking Trees, Saturday morning. We do it the second Saturday of every month. And John, before we get to our to-do this week, which is, frozen lawn damage. I forgot y'all also do lawn care now. But we'll talk about, you know, protecting your trees from frost damage as well, should we get some. But I've got to ask you about primary water. And I send it to all of our outdoor hosts that come in regularly, because the one thing that, you know, whether we're talking trees or we're with the Farm Bureau or Jay Harper talking just general landscape, garden, nursery, or Greg Peterson, you know, everything outdoors takes water. And, you know, we've got the Tier 1 shortage and Lake Powell and Lake Mead. And I stumbled across this primary water, and it seems like nobody's ever heard of it. I hadn't until 6 weeks ago.
And I hadn't until you told me.
What was your reaction?
Well, just to let our listeners know, primary water is apparently water that's below the Earth's mantle. And a lot of it, maybe three times the volume of the Earth's oceans, are actually below the Earth's surface, deep in the heart and below the mantle of the Earth. And this supply of water is tappable at certain places where there's access to it.
Fissures and cracks and fault lines.
And it's pretty fascinating to think that water may be available. And as a source for, you know, all of our many water shortages that we might be experiencing.
You can really go deep in the rabbit hole with all the information on it.
No pun intended.
Right. And, you know, it's not in liquid form. It's in steam form from the heat, from the magma that they say it's constantly being created. New water's always being created. And this heat from the magma pushes it up, and then it comes into liquid form as it comes out of these different cracks. And, you know, I mean, we were talking about it with Jay Harper when we first talked about it. You know, and I use Horton Springs because if you've been in Arizona any extended amount of time, you've probably heard of Horton Springs or even Castle Hot Springs. Right. You know, where is that water coming from? When we are pumping groundwater, we have to mechanically pump it. So how is this water naturally coming out? You know, well, primary water explains that it's the pressure from the magma, and the warmer the water is coming out, you know, you're closer to the heat source.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And, you know, there's none that are drilled in Arizona that we're aware of, but primarywaterinstitute.org has a map of all the primary wells they've drilled, number in Colorado, number of them in Africa and Asia. And I just think, man, we keep talking about the water shortage. What if you pumped and drilled a bunch of primary wells along the Colorado River shed just let it, you know,
Arizona
and naturally do its thing and fill up the reservoirs.
In California, you know, with all their conflicts regarding the Colorado River water, you would think that we would certainly be candidates for looking into that, you know?
Yeah. It would be a much faster and real-time solution than a lot of the other things. There's one group out of Casa Grande that is pushing Congress to do a study on creating a canal from Davenport, Iowa, and channeling water over to the Green River, which is the confluence to the Colorado.
That's a long, long way. long way.
And then another one, you know, pulling out of the Columbia and bringing it down to the Green River. And, you know, aside from a long way, the CAP canal is 336 miles. That took 20 years to build.
Right.
If we started now, you know, we're still decades away from having that water if they decide to engineer something like that, which, you know, it'd probably take a couple years to engineer that.
Well, how deep is that water at the that primary water as a rule? Is it like 10 miles deep?
The modern day father of it, a German man by the name of Stephen Reese, he's passed away in 85. And his protege, Paul Power, now kind of taking it over and trying to, you know, bring this concept into mainstream and educate everyone. You know, there is no shortage of water. We're just not looking in the right place. You have to do geological surveys to find the cracks to determine how deep you have to drill. Some of them, the one they did on the fault line in Tehachapi in California, I think they were, that one's only 40 feet deep. And then there's other ones that are, you know, hundreds of feet deep. You just have to find that crack in the...
Oh, so it's that close to the surface. I was thinking it was when you mentioned about the Earth's mantle, that it's...
that's where it's all created, miles underneath.
I see. So it's working its way up through some of these fault lines and finding its way to the surface. Cool. So
it's an interesting concept. And, you know, it would, like I said, it would be a real-time solution. So we're doing a lot more interviews and calling around people that have... I'd like to go see one before we really spend a whole hour or a whole broadcast on it, but...
Yeah,
you know, it would work, which is why it's probably not being considered.
Right.
Yeah, I'm right. Sure there'd be some strict,
cut out a lot of money, man, in the
I'm
middle
sure
of that.
There would be some strict regulation. Yeah, for sure, just to be sure that it's not abused.
All right. Well, I've sidetracked you, but you were the last outdoor living hour host, and I hadn't got to ask that on air yet. And the funny thing is, no one had ever heard of it either.
Yeah.
So. Very, very interesting concept. We'll spend a lot of time digging into that. But we've got a lot of Talking Trees bullet points to do, including preparing for frost damage, should we get it. And I know it sounds silly, but, you know, if you don't prepare and frost comes, the one thing you can't find in the store, frost.